dads and two moms doing their best to get it right. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
That's right. Another episode of Parenthood by Fire. My name is Mike, joined by, instead of saying your names, why don't you all just say your names one by one?
Jennifer.
Pedro.
Elena.
Lainey. That's right.
I just like saying my name.
I do. Your name's got a nice little ring to it. Lainey. I had to, last episode, I had to mention that because that's your nickname. That's what I call you. So if I make that mistake.
No, a lot of people call me that. It's okay.
Yeah. Lainey. All right.
Hey, now.
Another episode. I got to tell you a funny story. I really do. So this recording's been, we're doing this pretty early in the morning. And I've made some coffee for the team. Trying to stay awake and keep awake here. So we had some issues with babysitting or with, who's going to watch the kids. We all have kids. It's tough to get together and do these sometimes. And so at any rate, Pedro brought his son over here and lovely little child here. Mo's here, the oldest. And Mo's in there and, I'm making coffee for Pedro and he comes up and I go, "Hey, buddy. My kids hadn't eaten yet. We did a pretty early recording, and I'm like, "Yeah, you want some cereal?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah. Do you have Captain Crunch or something like that?" I don't remember what he said.
Oh yeah, he loves Captain Crunch.
Yeah, do you have Captain Crunch?
He doesn't sound like that.
Well, come on. And I'm like, sorry, buddy." And he's like, "Okay." And then I'm like, "I've got Life. I've got Flakes. I've got Rice Krispies." And he's like, You don't have Captain Crunch?" And so I'm having this dialogue with Mo, mm-hmm. Pedro's son. And I'm like, "No, I'm sorry, we don't." "Oh." And then I'm like, "We could do pancakes. Do you want to do pancakes?" And he's like, yeah, pancakes sounds good. And he gets all excited. And I'm like, "Yes, right? You know, Uncle Mike's going to swoop in and save the day with pancakes." And he goes, "Can we do chocolate chip pancakes?" I don't think I have chocolate chips. "Oh, my daddy always does chocolate chip pancakes." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then Jennifer jumps in, my wife, and she says, "Okay, I got strawberry syrup and we could do strawberry syrup." And he's like, no, chocolate chip pancakes, we do chocolate." And I thought it was funny. Apparently I couldn't make your son happy this morning.
Well, we did hear in past episodes how Pedro gets up and makes a nice hot breakfast every morning for his family. So
who knew it was
pretty spoiled.
What I want to talk to you about,
what
though.
What time is breakfast?
Yeah, what time? God, I wish I had your time. And then among that, why are you feeding your kids all this sugary stuff?
That's not all sugar.
He almost slipped up there.
Yeah, you did. You gotta get your filter on.
He doesn't eat sugar every morning. Captain Crunch is like once or twice a week, and
that's not what he told me.
Yeah, well, he's a 5-year old.
He exposed you for sugary cereals.
Yeah, so I give him a sugary cereal. He also eats oatmeal.
And he said you always make him chocolate chip pancakes, and he has Captain Crunch.
Yeah, he also told his babysitter he could have chocolate and juice for the entire day that she was there.
Well, your son exposed you for your breakfast, your healthy breakfasts.
Look, I make chocolate chip pancakes, yes, but I also just make regular pancakes, and all I do is dump chocolate chips in the pancakes as they're cooking on this flat top. Or the skillet or whatever. But look, I don't, it's not every day. I only make chocolate chip pancakes on the weekends. He also has a ton of fruit in the morning. Fresh fruit, apple. He ate an apple on the way over here.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's all right if you feed him sugary cereals. I'm not going to pass judgment.
I'm trying to get him all wired to bring him up over here and you can see how bad he is and he's all sugared up. That's what
I did. They're having a great time. I checked on the kids a little while ago. They're having a good time. Listen, so I've mentioned in past podcasts the fact that we bring a topic up on the show here. I get to do a topic. I haven't gotten to do it. I did the intro show way back in episode one, back weeks and weeks, and it feels like years ago. But I haven't gotten the chance to sit down and bring a topic forward. And my background, if you've read my background on the website, if you haven't, I did some radio for a number of years, and I'm very plugged into the media. I work for a company that works very much in internet media and digital content delivery. And the reality is we now live in a world where everything's on demand, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. How many of your kids wait for a TV show to come on the air?
Nope. They don't even know what commercials are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, do your kids have their own DVR or segment on their DVR? I mean, do you have a section on your DVR full of kids programming?
Absolutely.
What's not on my DVR that's not kids?
Thank you.
Yep.
My kids have their own DVR. I spoil them rotten.
Depends, yeah.
They have their own.
Sugary treats, my D-O-D-A-R.
Oh, wow.
Wait, my kids had flakes today, all right?
Hey,
my kids had regular pancakes. Guys. Tough guy. So my kids have their own DVR, literally their own DVR, right? And the exposure, well, I remember as kids, I'm going to date myself just a little bit. Cartoons were on from 3 to maybe 4 o'clock on weekdays and then on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a treat to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning and you went and you watched cartoons and then they were done by football time and that was it. That was your exposure to cartoons.
You learned to eat in between commercials.
Exactly. Exactly. So now that's not really pertinent anymore, is it? I mean, got kids with their own DVRs. And programming's changed a lot too, which I think is good. I think the old model, I grew up in a household where we didn't have cable or anything like that. So I was exposed to PBS a lot, which was good.
Loved PBS.
I loved PBS too. I loved PBS. My kids don't even really like Reading Rainbow and Sesame Street and a lot of those older shows. They're not really... I mean, I know it's still on, but there's too much other good stuff.
I tried to show Dewey Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I was so excited to sit down and watch this with him, and it really shows the time. Like, he was bored by it because programming is so different now.
Daniel, they replaced it. It's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood now.
No, but I went like old school, like on Hulu, like old school Mr. Rogers. I was so excited, but he was bored by it because programming is so different and children are used to a much faster pace in what they're being shown. Mm-hmm.
The Wiggles still around?
I hope not.
I'm sure somewhere you can find them on video on demand or something.
I'm pretty sure they're on their last concert tour, which would be like the fifth last concert
the
tour. Fifth,
the revival.
Like the rest of the bands.
Yeah. When one of them throws out a hip, we know they're done. No, that's funny, though. I brought up some old programming, some old stuff, reached into the archive. My kids were bored stiff. They could not sit through it. And I'm like, oh, my God, am I raising hyperactive kids that can't sit still to watch what was stimulating to me at their age? So I'm a little bit concerned. I ask that as a question a little bit to the group here to see stimulus. The amount that we stimulate them now. I know a lot of the programming, and I'm not going to dog any programming here. A lot of it is educational. And, I'm thinking of the first one that's coming to mind is Dora. And I'm sorry, I'm so burned out on Dora. But they try to teach in the programming. And I approve of
si,
that.
Si, senor.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we live in California. I'm not going to say anything offensive here, but learning Spanish, whether you live in California or any state you may be listening to this show, learning Spanish is a great secondary language to learn. So I'm all for kids speaking Spanish. I think more and more of that will be important the older they get. I wish I spoke it fluently, but I don't. So from educational programming standpoint, do you think we're overstimulizing our kids with media?
Go ahead.
I do. I think there's a lot. I think there's way too much media. And I also think that we're part of the problem, like as parents and adults, because we are all attached. I mean, even just sitting around the table, there's not one of us who doesn't have a smartphone or a laptop or, and I know that's part of what we're doing here, but outside of our studio, we do also have those things when we're around our children. And I have to make a very conscious effort of putting it away so that Rocky doesn't see it, so he doesn't want it.
Does Rocky know how to use your smartphone or your iPad?
Yes.
Sorry, tablet. We need to be more generic.
Tablet.
Your smartphone or your tablet?
A little bit. We have guided access on it, so he can't turn it on or off. We have to put it on, and we have guided access so that we don't have to, let him mess with it.
I saw an interesting article, or rather a YouTube video, not an article, of a young child, and younger than Otis, by the way. I want to say maybe a year old. And this child was playing with an iPad, sorry, a tablet. And then the parent took the tablet away and handed them a magazine. And this child was doing the gesture, the pinch gesture, to kind of zoom into a photo, for example, on the paper.
Wow.
Actually, like, trying to zoom into the photo on the magazine. I thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's our society. Yeah. I mean...
Well, kids grow up with whatever they learn what is ever around them, right? So if they grow up with a tablet, and then that's what they're going to know. And But if they grow up with a book, then they're going to know about a book. So.
Should a 12-month-old child be exposed that much to a tablet that they can't handle a magazine or a book?
I think it comes to a good balance, right? Like television, you'd want just enough TV where they're entertained, that they can watch a little bit, they can enjoy it, but not so much where they completely shut out the rest of the world. Same thing with a tablet. Like, if I have a tablet at home, Mo uses it, he knows how to. Even Otis knows what it is and how it works, kind of. He doesn't really play any games on it yet, but
And there's Mo right there. I don't know if you can hear him in the background.
I hope not.
Anyways. That's your son.
So anyways. Yeah. Say he'll be okay. I set a time limit. I literally have, and it's old school twist egg timer.
The egg timer.
Yeah, yeah.
Ding.
And it's funny is I'll set it and it sits there and ticks and it really upsets Mo. And so he'll hide it. I'll find it places and I'm like, I hear it go bing. And I go, is that my bedroom? That was over by you, Mo. He's like, I put it in the bedroom. Cause that was, I was like, oh, anyways. But he's a little too smart for his own good. But, you know, it's time limits are important because they don't need to have that much time on those devices. But we also read books. And he also sits down and reads his own books. Now that he's in kindergarten. So I think it just comes down to the parents being very aware of what their children are getting into.
And my kids are a little bit older. Dewey's 5 and Red is 8. And so we're at the point now where they earn media time. So it's a given that kind of part of our daily schedule in the evenings is they can watch one TV show that's about, you know, 20 minutes to a half hour long, but anything additional to that, if they wanted to play video games or wanted to use the Kindle or anything like that, they're needing to earn that. So they can either do extra reading time, extra chores, or things like that to be able to get some extra time. And then we do have tablets and phones and Kindles and iPads and computers, all that stuff. And so the units that they use all have automatic time limits built into it. So we did all the parent controls so that even if they did have find it and we weren't observing them too closely, the video game would shut down after 30 minutes and they wouldn't have access to it. So we try and control it that way.
And we do the same type of thing. There's days where Rocky doesn't have any media at all.
I mean, did you just throw them out back and say go play? We've actually gotten into that
immersion tank. Yeah.
We play, we read, we play games. We actually have some board games he's loving right now, and you know, things like that. And that's okay. I mean, there's days where it's okay, and he doesn't get any more than one.
We send the kid. I'm not kidding. We'll send them out. We'll turn the TV off. We'll be like, listen, go out back and play. That's it. I mean, go out back and play. I think that's so important. I mean, that's what we did as kids.
Oh, yeah, no.
There wasn't any cartoons to watch, and I didn't even have a VCR. So we went out and played, and we imagined. We had imagination. And so it scares me a little bit to not see that as prevalent in today's youth.
What was I listening to? I was listening to a podcast. I listened to a lot of podcasts. Ours first.
Good,
of course.
Good. Yeah, of course.
Of course, ours first. But we only do it once a week. So, but they were talking about media and children and playtime. And the average child spends like less than an hour a day, or not even an hour a day, like 7 to 10 minutes a day outside when they're at home. Obviously, when they're at school, if they go to school, there's that outside playtime, recess time. But that's just scary. Like, I remember, sure, when it was rainy, you'd stay inside. But, I remember going outside exactly doing what you're playing. But I mean, it's really tough to keep media away from kids. Media is everywhere, whether we're talking about television or we're talking about phones or iPads or tablets and other stuff. But
and don't forget the big one. I made a career out of it for many years.
Yeah.
Radio, right? I'd like to quote a very wise man. She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. I'm up all night to get lucky. Those are the lyrics to a very popular song out right now. Sounds a lot better when I say it, right? Than when it sings. When you sing it. That's Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Pure poetry, Mike.
Was that nice?
Yeah.
It's a British accent next time. I'm up all night to get some.
To get lucky.
Up all night to get lucky.
Now, that I'm going to raise my hand here and say that I've had that song on in the car. And I was mortified when my goose, my sweet, precious, innocent little daughter, sang that she was up all night for good fun and she was up all night to get lucky. And I decided to explain exactly what getting lucky meant. And no, I did no, don't look at me like that, Lainey. I did not explain what they mean get lucky is. Mm-hmm. I made it like fun, like game time and like playtime. Which I guess has a bit of a double meaning, doesn't it?
That's it.
What?
No, that's interesting because I had the same thing happen with Mo and myself. We were on our way to kindergarten and that song came on and he was singing it. I took a very different approach though. I didn't explain to him. I asked him what he thought it meant. And he said it was just up to play games and have fun. He came up with his own definition. Obviously, he doesn't know any of the other connotations to all that other stuff, but he came up with his own definition and I figured probably okay, but there's some more explicit songs out there and more explicit
there are.
Things that
there are.
You really have to be...
Yeah, yes, Blurred Lines. So, Blurred Lines is another one. So, these songs are huge right now at the time we're recording the podcast, and let's face it. Let me ask you this first of all. Do you guys listen to this kind of music in your car?
No.
Occasionally.
Okay, Lainey doesn't. Jennifer does. I'm going to be honest with all of you. I do sometimes. My kids, I don't like my kids sing along to Blurred Lines. My kids like Cups, the Anna Kendrick song.
Mm-hmm. Not familiar.
You don't know Cups?
No, mm-mm. Bohemian Rhapsody is big with us right now. The Muppet version.
Oh, okay, I was just going to say, wow.
The Muppet version.
The Mama.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's Otis's favorite part. When that part comes on, when Animal starts singing Mama, he sings along with it too. Mama, Mama.
So this is Cups, by the way. I'm going to play it just because you don't know the song. We'll just play a couple seconds of it here.
I got my ticket for the long way round.
You don't know it? Really?
Sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. It's from a song. Okay. It's from a movie.
Yeah,
it's from
which movie? Pitch Perfect. Yep. Absolutely. So my daughter loves this song. And it doesn't bother me. She'll sing this along. When I'm gone. Now do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good.
I didn't know the name. Sorry.
Yeah, there's no mention of Cups in the song, by the way, just so you're aware. But it's from Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Anna Kendrick, I believe, is the artist. Should know that. But I don't have a problem with the kids sing that, but it's Get Lucky and Blurred Lines, for example. You
know? I will say that when some of those other songs come on, I will change the station or I'll turn it down. And I've been very, very conscious of it lately because we just started carpool with another family in our neighborhood. And I don't know what their family standards are and what their children are exposed to. So I'm even more cautious.
What a considerate parent. I actually think you're being incredibly considerate.
You know, I the last thing I want is their kids coming home singing Blurred Lines and they know that that did not come from their home. So I am very cautious with that and I will change the station or I will turn it down.
How do you do it? You said you don't listen to music like that.
Dan has loaded this thumb drive and it goes right into the pilot, our car.
Geeks.
I know.
It's doggone geeks.
And it has a bunch of songs that are pretty safe. He likes Mumford & Sons, everything except for, you know, Lion Man, because that one's off.
You can get the edited version.
Yeah, I don't think we own the edited version. I think it's the unedited, so it doesn't make it on there. And then he calls it guitar music.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so Van Morrison and some of the older classic stuff is what he's ended up liking. And we play mute. I mean, it's not like we're doing like kid stuff in the car. He likes music that we're not on a top 40 station because of what's out right now. So.
Well, yeah. No. Go ahead, Pedro.
No, I was going to say but the music has changed. Like back in, you know, talking about Van Morrison or even now, Mo loves the Beatles. He actually loves watching the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Band movie cartoon thing from like the mid 60s. So, but yeah, you have to really be conscious because now when he's getting older, they start to hear the words and they start to repeat them and they start to understand them.
Like this one. So this song's been played on the air a lot, and this is the radio version. I'm not going to play the dirty version, but even the radio version is terrible for kids to hear. Here's the chorus. And this is all right. This is in my pocket. And this part right here.
Walk into the club like, what up? I got a big.
Okay, now that's all I'll play. There are two really bad parts there. The first of all, my kids know that song. And I'm like, Kids Bop. Did you guys ever listen to Kids Bop? That's... Now, Kids Bop does a version of that says, this is really awesome. So my daughter will sing along, and where it beeps out the F word, she'll sing really. And I'm like, phew. And then that first part, he talks about having a big and then, you know, and so we know as parents what that is. But even the clean versions on the radio are not good. And I bring up the radio, and I'm happy you brought up the carpool situation. I bring up the radio on purpose because that's the exposure that's the hardest to control. Because if your kids are in a carpool or they're somewhere else with another parent that maybe isn't quite as conscious of the media that you expose your kids to, the radio happens to kind of seep in where other media doesn't.
Not even just out in public. People play, like now everybody has a phone or streaming music. And we live right near a high school and junior high, and these kids come by and they have these phones playing, and they're playing unedited versions
of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that just seeps in, no matter, even if you're trying to be conscious, it's out there. So yeah, it's crazy. Kids Bop, I've always had an issue with Kids Bop. Like all their different versions, they take really adult songs and they bring them down. It's
well,
like,
yeah, like that. It's like, yeah.
You can't, these kids are going to grow up and they're like, oh, I don't know.
Or they're going to end up looking very unpopular when they're 18 and they're singing Thrift Shop and this is really awesome. You know, I did a little bit of traveling. So for work, I travel quite a bit, and I watched a documentary called Sexed Up Kids. Anybody here seen that before?
Mm-mm, no.
It's quite intriguing. There is a version of it. There's a version of it on YouTube, and I'm going to put that on the wall so that our listeners can see it. I'm going to play a quick clip here from the show. I've edited it down. I actually had to edit it because there's a little bit of suggestive material, but this kind of sums it up but real good about this documentary.
As the pressure to sexualize ever younger girls intensifies, ever younger boys also find themselves inundated with sexual imagery in their favorite magazines, TV shows, and hottest music videos. All offer up essentially what a generation ago was called soft porn.
That's what they use their iPods for, to get the Wi-Fi. They just, it's everywhere.
When it comes to confronting the issue of teen boys and porn, most parents believe it's about somebody else's kid. But with an estimated 70 to 80% of teen boys watching online porn, turns out it's pretty well everybody's kid.
Porn in many ways is becoming the super educator in terms of sexual information.
It was my first like full-blown, like fully naked.
If there's an elephant in the room right now that we're not talking about in schools, it's pornography.
Okay, now I'm guilty. When I was a little boy, I had a magazine. One magazine. A 1977 issue of Playboy with Farrah Fawcett on the cover.
Teenager, though, right? Not little boy.
Well, yeah, 13, 14.
Okay, good.
13, I guess.
Well, the problem is
my reference has changed on little boy. 13-year-old is a boy to me, but that's
right. No, just making clarification, because, I mean, now 8-year-olds with a tablet with Wi-Fi, you can type almost anything in the internet, and all of a sudden a porn site will come up.
So I had that Farrah Fawcett spread, and yeah. Farrah Fawcett wasn't even naked. She honestly wasn't. She was in suggestive positions and stuff, but she was wearing clothes, and Playboy is probably the most mild magazine you can get, you know. I'm making Lainey blush over here, but the reality, I'm bringing it up for a reason, not to be suggestive here on the podcast, but to say that was my exposure to softcore pornography as a kid. And now, if you mistype into Google, for example, you will get inundated by really bad stuff.
Well, I've been amazed at just YouTube searches. You know, I am with Red doing YouTube searches on, you know, Lego Chima, and you are maybe three clicks away from having him see something that has nothing to do with Lego Chima. And so me being there is really, really important, and I'm always shocked at how quickly you can get to inappropriate content.
And user-generated content. Let's not forget about that. The world of selfies. Yeah, I know, exactly. Go online. There's a website. I don't even want to promote it. I'm not going to promote it. There's a website out there, and you go there, and it encourages young women, and, I mean, not 13-year-olds, but there could very well be, encourages young women to take pictures of themselves with a certain T-shirt on or in a certain suggestive manner and post it. So it's pretty much a bunch of selfies of young ladies showing different parts of their body in suggestive ways. And I'm like, so I'm thinking to myself, what do you do, guys? I mean, I know you guys mostly have boys. You all have boys, except for me. Not to say that your next child won't be a girl.
I don't know. I'm just in shock right now.
I'm telling you, it's real.
No, right? Yeah, it's very real. I mean, and I think part of that has to come down to you as a parent, right? Mm-hmm. Really sitting down with your kids and making sure they're on the right. So even if I give Mo time on like Nick Jr. or Disney Jr. or one of those websites, right? The computer's open. If he figures out how to click to a different screen or whatever, he could be going around. So I don't just set the timer and walk away. I'm constantly going back around. Hey, what are you doing? What's going on? What game are you playing? You have to be vigilant about it. But I also think there needs to be some sort of regulation by the community as a whole. If you're talking about YouTube, right? There's a YouTube community. And so when people put videos up that are inappropriate and you look for Lego Chima, which is, you know, 8-9-year-olds are looking for that, there shouldn't be other videos that are tagged similar to Lego Chima. And so, like, if you find those videos, we should really be letting Google or YouTube know that, hey, these videos are tagged inappropriately and these are not for kids and these need to be highly regulated. I mean, the same thing happens with like Facebook, right? You can go onto Facebook and be like, hey, there's inappropriate pictures on this website. And they're, you know, for whatever reason, right? And you can do that. And I think it comes down to, we've talked about this before with one of our first podcasts with parenting other people's children. We just, as a community, need to come together and make sure that we're making it safer. And I realize we're not going to make it totally safe, but we just need to make sure that we are constantly vigilant about our children and they're exposed to the right things at the right time.
As far as exposure to online media, shifting here a little bit, obviously, with sexed up kids and such, do you have a shared space for a computer, guys? I mean, I'm assuming, I'll be honest, I'm against the kids having a tablet or a computer in their room at all. Now, my kids don't have exposure to a tablet yet, but computer they do. In a supervised area, in a central area to the house. I plan on keeping it that way. I do not plan on letting the kids ever is an absolute, let me step back. If, as long as I'm alive, I don't want my kids to have a computer in their room.
Our children do not have any real technology or media sources in their room. So no televisions, none of that stuff, certainly no computers. When they are utilizing a tablet or a laptop, it's one of ours and it is with explicit permission. It's not just available for them to go and pick up and utilize. They need to have permission, and that is taking place in a public room or the family room. So they're not taking that into their room and looking on their own.
What's your plans for Rocky?
Well, I'm liking my computer right now that has the fingerprint lock because, you know, pretty much I don't have to let him go on there. But I don't know. It'll definitely be out if computers are going to be a part of his life. So I think that we definitely are going to have it out in public, not in his room.
And I mean, your husband's a geek, yeah. So he'll probably do what I will do. And I haven't done it yet, which is set up on the Wi-Fi router. Mm-hmm. Little blocking for as many of these words as you can. But even the ads that appear on the right-hand margins of sites. So I work for a company that does that that scans your computer and your cookies and determines where you've been and then puts up ads that might be pertinent. So if you accidentally hit an adult site and a cookie is written to your system, for example, not like I've ever purposely hit an adult site, but you accidentally hit one, you may get a suggestive ad on the screen of some type. And I know you're laughing over there. You're right?
That's so okay. Accidents happen.
Mike. Accidents happen. Oops.
Oh, I thought there was no such things as accidents.
Well, I thought we're not speaking in absolutes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
So at any rate, yeah, I mean, I lost, the train is completely derailed. I'm in the same camp as most of you. I don't think I asked you, Pedro. What about you? You plan on...
No, I don't really think I'm ever planning on having the kids with anything in their room that they can't be observed or kept monitored on. Because there's too much out there. There's too much for them to get a hold of and for me not to be monitored and would be irresponsible as a parent. That's my fault.
Well, I want to ask the parents out there, and I'm going to pose the question at radio. As far as the radio goes, because that's one of those things when you're in the car, sometimes you're not as consciously thinking about the media that's being exposed to your kid. How do you do it? What do you do to get around some of the, I'm out to have fun, I'm out to get lucky? How do you get around that? So we want to hear your feedback. Facebook.com/ParenthoodByFire. We'll have the question out there. You could also, of course, tweet us. The lovely Pedro is the administrator of of Twitter, at ParentFire. Or you can hit us up on the website, too, www.parenthoodbyfire.com. My name's Mike. Man, you guys, you're awesome.
You are too, Mike.
Cheesy moment there.
We love you, Mike.
Have a great week, folks.